If you will, notice Psalms chapter, Psalms 133 division in verses 1 following. The psalmist said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that rained down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descend upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore." I want to talk on a thought for a little while. Unity. Unity. The ability to work together for a common cause. We know that the Bible promotes unity. What will you give up to promote unity? Ask yourself that question. What will you give up to promote unity? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25, "And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand." And so Jesus said that wherever there is division, rest assured that wherever it is, you won't be productive. If the home is divided, rest assured somebody in the home is not willing to give up something. If the school system, if all of the things that we involve in that have a division, it is because somebody is not willing to give up something for the cause of unity. We must have unity with God and not God having unity with us. We must agree with God, but people think that God need to agree with them. Amos 3:3-4. Notice what Amos said. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquity like the wind have taken us away." Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Paul said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Man cannot be in unity with God unless he do what God have commanded him to do. As long as man is in sin, he is an enemy of God. And if you're an enemy of God, you can't say that you are in unity with God. Notice, man does not have to be an enemy of God because God is compassionate. 2 Chronicles 36:15-16. The Bible says, "And the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But notice now, but they continually mock the message of God, despise his words, and scoff at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy." Ezra tells us in Ezra 5:12, "But after that our father had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldeans, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon." God will have unity with his people when his people obey God's word. Enoch, the Bible says, had unity with God in Genesis 5:21. Notice what the Bible says. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. After he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Notice now, he walked with God. Amos said, how can two walk together unless they agree? And so therefore, he walked with God because he agreed with God, not that God agreed with him. Hebrews 11:5. The Hebrew writer said, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. When you please God, you will have unity. Now notice now, the devil understands that if I can get a congregation to be divided against itself, the devil understands that congregation in the area, wherever it may be, will not be productive. He knows that. Why? Because they're so busy fighting themselves that they don't have time to evangelize. And then when the world or when the community comes into the building, they see the division among the people of God. And they just say, I don't want to be a part of that. So that's why it's important for you and I to maintain unity among ourselves. You see, sin destroy the unity between man and God. Sin destroy unity between man and man. We must promote unity among each other. And when there's a division in a congregation, I guarantee you it's because somebody is not willing to give up something. Fight tooth and nail for it. They'll fight to the point they don't care what happened. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. And the multitude of them that believe with a one heart and a one soul, neither say any of them that all of the things which he possessed were his own, but they had all things common. Notice, they was unselfish. After the death of Joseph's father, his brother was afraid of him. They thought he was going to get revenge on them. But notice what Joseph did. He said in Genesis 15, verse 21, so therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. It wasn't about what happened to Joseph. Joseph didn't take it personal. When you take stuff personal, then you will cause division. Notice in Hebrews 13:16. And do not neglect doing good and shame, for which such sacrifice God is pleased. Romans 12:13. Contribute to the need of the saints, practicing hospitality. Hebrews 13:16. And do not neglect doing good. Share, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. Romans 16:4. Who for my life risk their own neck, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also of the churches of the Gentiles. Paul talking about Priscilla and Aquila. In other words, these are acts of unselfish behavior, and it promotes unity among brothers. When you're not selfish, you can have unity. When there is division somewhere, somebody is selfish. It got to go their way. If it don't go my way, I don't care what the outcome is. I don't care what happened. there was also compassionate. These people who had unselfish spirits were also compassionate. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is compassionate. In Matthew 15:32. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. In Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forward and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. The psalmist said in Psalm 41 and verse 1, blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. 1 John 3:17. But whosoever hath this world's good and see his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? When you are compassionate, you will promote unity. When you are compassionate, you are willing to put down whatever it is that is causing division. He says, notice, Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 7, if there is a poor man with you and one of your brothers in any of your towns and your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart nor close your hand from your poor brother. But you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend him sufficient for his need and whatever he likes. Showing compassion promotes unity. But I can be unselfish. I can be compassionate and have unity with each other, but not have unity with God. See, I can have all those things. Why? Because you must have the right doctrine. Jesus said in 2 John 1:9, whosoever transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abide in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now here, where you draw the line in the sand, I don't put down the doctrine in order to have unity. No, we got to stay with the doctrine. But some of that other stuff that I may be doing, I need to be willing to put it down for the sake of unity. I don't have to tell you what's going on across the brotherhood. I don't have to tell you what people are doing now in religious service. We need to ask ourselves the question. If it doesn't serve any spiritual purpose, why fight to hold on to it? It's not serving a religious purpose. It's not serving a spiritual purpose. Why hold on to it? I shared with us about you know, we got some brother and they like to put their robe on now. But they like to put their robe on. But what spiritual purpose for wearing a robe? You don't have none. And therefore, if you don't have none, won't you put it down for the sake of unity? See, but some people say, I don't care what you say. This is what I like. And it's all about them. It's all about them, even to the point if it causes members to fall by the wayside. See, you got to be willing to put things aside that doesn't have any spiritual purpose at all for the sake of unity. John 17:16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And so therefore, my brothers and sisters, when it comes to the doctrine, when it comes to the church, we can't compromise. Can't compromise. Somebody said, well, you just said if you don't compromise, people going to fall all apart. I said that we got to agree with God. We got to agree with God. We gotta stand on the word of God. And I know some people say, boy, look at if we just compromise. If you just put down that baptism, put down that one church, we can have fellowship. But I'm here to tell you that Brother Olive's not putting down nothing when it comes to the doctrine. Only way I'm going to put it down, if you can prove to me from the Bible, is wrong. I'm not holding on to something that's false. I'm trying to get to heaven. And as I said before, we used to have a membership of 2,000 when everybody going to hell because they're following the wrong doctrine. No, we need to stick with the word of God. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul said, you got to stick with the word. You can't go teach something else. And that's what Paul was saying about the Corinthians. They start to follow men. One say I'm Apollos, one say I'm a Cephas, one say I'm a Paul. And Paul asked the question, is Christ divided? In other words, you ought to put Paul down. You ought to put Peter down. You ought to put Apollos down and follow Jesus. Because that's what they was doing. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. This people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me. Now notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, yes, I recognize that they worship him. I recognize that their object of worship is me. But notice this. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. We need to put the teachings of men down and follow God. Romans 16, 17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Now, as I said before, you don't label a brother as a false teacher because he misapplied a scripture or something like that. But if that brother is teaching something about, there's no difference in churches, we can go to any church we want, that's false doctrine. When a brother say, you've been baptized over there in Mount Zion Baptist Church, and now you coming over here, and the brother say, look, you don't have to get baptized again. All you got to do is just move your membership. I'm here to tell you that's false doctrine. That's false doctrine. And I know this. Even members of the church is not in unity with God. Why? Let us go back to John chapter 8 and verse 31. Notice what he said. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. See, some of God's people don't want to continue in traveling the pathway. You know why? Because as I begin to mature and grow in Christ, the path get difficult. Because now all of a sudden I'm running across people who I love and who I cherish, and now they don't want to obey the word of God. They don't want to obey. And I believe that's what's happening with some of our brethren in leadership, is because there's somebody in the family saying to them, I was born a Baptist, and I'm a die Baptist. Oh, wait a minute. Your grandma or grandpa who used to sit me on their knee, and all of a sudden, they was teaching me the Bible the best of their ability. And I appreciate that. But all of a sudden now, as I study more of the word, I learned that some of the things that they was teaching me was wrong. Now I got to make a decision. I got to make a decision. Either I'm going to follow them or I'm going to follow the Bible. And not only that, but then all of a sudden, I have enough courage that we'll have a talk with them. And in our conversation, they say to me, I don't care what you say. I was born a Baptist. I'm a die a Baptist. And that just shook your faith. Shook your faith till you went back, if you will, back to the office. Labor all day long. All night long. Trying to find a loophole in God's word in order to bring her in or to bring him in. I'm here to tell you, there's no loophole. She and he, they're going to have to follow the word of God like everybody else. Don't tell me you can't teach her. What they say, you can't teach her old dog new tricks? Don't tell me that when I see all the people with cell phones. When I see all the people that have cable, you done changed somewhere. You done made a change. Somebody done taught you something new and you embraced it. You didn't say, I don't want no cell phone, that stuff. This is the way I always was, and this is the way I'm going to always be. You didn't say that. You didn't say when the boss called you and said, I'm going to give you a raise. You didn't say, no, I've been making this kind of money all my life. I don't want nothing else. Don't play with God. You got to change your doctrine. And the thing about it is that God spared your life that long. And you have an opportunity to get right with God. But you reject it because of what you believe. And if you can prove what you believe is true, then we can put it down. We agree with you. Paul knew that the devil have a doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul said, now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I wasn't always a member of the Lord's church. I obeyed the gospel in my 20s. I came from the Baptist background. And when I heard the truth, I made a decision. And I didn't care what grandma thought about it. I didn't care what mama thought about it. I didn't care what grandpa thought about it. I had to make a decision for myself because I knew what I was reading was right. See, are you willing to put your soul on the line because of what somebody else thinks? If we're going to have unity, it's going to have to be according to the word of God. And I can compromise. I can compromise as long as it don't have nothing to do with doctrine.
I can compromise, Gary. If you say, brother, preacher, I don't like that jacket you wearing. I don't like that. I'll put it in the closet. I won't wear it before you again. I can put that down. See, that's what I'm saying. What are you willing to put down for unity? What are you willing to give up for unity? And the reason why we're having issues in the home, issues in the church, is because somebody said, I don't care what you say, it doesn't serve a religious purpose, but I want to do it anyway. Then I got to ask the question, what's your motives? What's your motives? Matthew said, notice not. In Matthew 15:8, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, I can come in the sanctuary. I can sing songs, and I can sound like an angel, if you will. I can sound like an angel if I will, but yet to us, you on point. But to God, your worship is in vain because of your heart. He says, no, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandment of men. Romans 16:17. Now notice, Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Notice now, they continue in the apostles' doctrine. I mean that we got to stick with the book. If we're going to make it to heaven, we got to put down those things that's causing division, that serve no spiritual purpose at all. It's just about selfishness. Somebody want to do what they want to do. You find it in the home. Somebody's not willing to give up. You know how it is. Two people face to face. You back up. No, you back up. What's wrong with taking a step back? For unity. What are you willing to give up for unity? Somebody say, some of the things that we're doing, it's not scripturally wrong. I didn't say it was scripturally wrong, but you got to ask yourself. It becomes wrong when you continue to pursue it and not have a spirit of cooperation. You know, if a bus then left the bus station and encounter problems, you think the driver going to continue to push on? He's going to go back to the station. So if whatever I try to implement in worship, if I step out with it and it starts causing problems, won't you just go back to where you started from? That's all you have to do. Not continue to press on. When you see that it's causing problems, right doctrine promotes unity. Can't find it in the Bible, you need to leave it alone. Leave it alone. I'd rather face God in judgment, and God tells me the things that I wanted to implement would have been perfectly all right with Him. I'd rather miss out on that than to stand before God and He tell me, depart from me, you work of iniquity. We gotta, it's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. And God wants unity in His church. So right doctrine promotes unity. As I close, it's our goal to maintain unity in this congregation. That's our goal. I can't speak for other congregations. I can't. All we can do is work on us and say to ourselves that I'm willing to put down anything that causes division among us, especially if it doesn't have any spiritual purpose. But I will not. I will not compromise the gospel. And I don't care who's trying to implement something else. That's where members in the pew need to be strong. When the preacher begin to do things that is contrary to the doctrine, and you know it, you need to take a stand. But you know what? Members just sit in the pew and let the preacher run amok in the church. He'll bring denominational preachers around. He'll do all sorts of you won't say nothing. But soon a man of God start preaching against false doctrine and denominationalism, first thing the people in the pew say, he don't have no compassion. Well, ready to tear down the man of God that preaches the truth. But lift up the man who compromising the gospel. So I'm here to tell you that you need to take a stand even if the preacher get out of line. And if he's a humble preacher, if he get out of line, he'll allow you to put him back in line. Huh? I'm telling you, I want you to put me back in line. If I walk out of line, just come talk to me. I didn't know that. I'd be glad to get back on the straight and narrow. Why? Because you're concerned about my soul's salvation. It's not about who you think you are coming to question me. Don't you know I'm the preacher? Don't you know I got this and I studied that and on? That doesn't matter. Members have the same right as the preacher have to challenge one another. And if you see me going astray, I want you to talk to me. Now I want you to talk to me and put me back on a straight and narrow. Now it may be I don't want to go back on a straight and narrow. It may be that. Now you got some people that they don't want to go to heaven. Now they play a big game. They show up. But when they go back to their respectable places, they just live any kind of way they want. That's how I know they don't want to go to heaven. But to keep you off their back, they show up. They participate. But then at the end of the day, they just go back and do what they want. Now if you're that type of person, then that's you. But I'm not that type of person. I want you to talk to me if you think I'm going astray. I want to get to heaven. And I don't have it all right. And you don't have it all right. That's why we got to work together as a team, as one unit. Having an unselfish spirit. So what have we learned? Having an unselfish spirit will promote unity. The second thing we learned, having a compassionate spirit will promote unity. Keeping the doctrine of Christ will promote unity. I guarantee. Because why? Because it's not about me. It's about God and what God wants. And the fourth thing we learn, anything that don't have no spiritual purpose, we should be willing to give it up for unity. Huh? Sometimes you have brothers fighting, arguing over what color the carpet ought to be. Fighting and fussing, arguing over what color we ought to paint the sanctuary. It don't matter. I understand you want things to look nice, but we shouldn't lose our souls over that. Huh? I mean, whatever color the carpet you have, that's not going to stop me from making it to heaven, huh? But it will stop you from making it to heaven if you start fussing and fighting over it. It'll hurt you. If you're a child of God this evening and you sin in any way, the fact that you're here, you can make it right before the everlasting too late. All God requires you as a child of God is to acknowledge your wrong before him, to confess it, repent of it, and he'll forgive you of your sins. But if you're not a member of the Lord's church, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, the one that he promised to build in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "On this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If you're not a member of the church of Christ, let me share with you what you need to do to become a member of the church of Christ. Because salvation is in the church of Christ, is in the body of Christ. And if you're not in that church that Jesus built, I'm here to tell you this morning, you won't make it. I'm not saying that because I'm being arrogant. I'm not saying it because I'm not compassionate. I'm saying it because I am compassionate and I love you. There are some people, the devil have so many preachers out here teaching you false doctrine, telling you that the way to be saved and to be right with God, all you have to do is say a sinner's prayer. That's what the devil telling people. And then you receive that information from your preacher or from some preacher on TV, and you walk away after you have said that prayer thinking you saved, thinking you right with God. But I don't fault you. I don't fault you for that, because after all, you don't have a reason to question him. He already went to his Bible college. So he's supposed to know. But see, somewhere along the line, God not going to keep you ignorant. He's going to make a way for you to know the truth. And then once you find out the truth and you reject it, then now I fault you. So here, let me share with you what you need to do to become a child of God. the way the Bible says. Number one, the Bible says you must have faith. Romans 10, 17 says faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. I must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came and died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day because of my sins and went back to heaven. I must believe that. Then the Bible says that I need to repent. Luke 13, 3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you all likewise will perish. Then the Bible says that you need to confess Christ as being the Son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32, following, unless you confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Then the Bible said that you must be willing to be buried in the water of baptism for the remission of sin. Somebody might be saying, preacher, you know what? That's all I hear those Church of Christ preachers talk about. No matter where I go, I hear that same thing. You know why? Because truth don't change. Truth don't change. It remains the same. A lie a change. Why? Because a lie is trying to keep you in darkness. They asked Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what he said. He said that baptism is for the remission of sin. But these preachers, some of these preachers tell you that, oh no, you already were saved when you recited the prayer. You notice Peter didn't tell him anything about reciting the prayer. Paul said in Acts 22, 16, he was told by Ananias, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Then the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, 1 following, that we are buried with him in baptism. That our old man is crucified. That we come up in newness of life. You don't have to be a professor in college. If I'm old, going down, and I come up new, something took place, not before I went down, but when I came up, which tells me that scripture is in harmony with Acts 2:38, is in harmony with Acts 22:16, because when I went down, I came in contact with the precious blood of Jesus. That's why I'm able to rise up in newness of life. Jesus said in Mark 16 and 16, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. All we have to do is follow the book. And once you are washed in the blood of Jesus, the Bible said that God will place you in his church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. Now here's the question. Which one did he add them to? Couldn't add them to the Baptists. They wasn't there. Couldn't add them to the Methodists. They wasn't there. Couldn't add them to the Lutheran, they wasn't there. Couldn't add them to the Catholic, they wasn't there. The only church that was existing and still existing is the Church of Christ. And that's the one he added them to. And I know there are people in the church who want to try to get rid of the name. Why? Because they won't get people to come. God said that they changed the sign from Church of Christ to Community Church. And they start having people show up. People said, we were waiting for you to take that name down. It was offensive to us. Well, if the truth gonna be offensive, let it be offensive. Because taking a name off doesn't change anything. You still can't get to heaven. See, and so what church did he add the save to? Jesus said he was going to build his church. Are we to conclude that Jesus died and resurrected and went back to heaven and didn't build a church? If we make that, and we come to that conclusion, that makes Jesus a false prophet. He said that God's going to add you to his church. And then the Bible says in Revelation 2:10 that we must live faithful unto death. When you close, if God bless you to close your eyes tonight and you get up the next day, don't try to hold on to what you did yesterday. It's a new day now. Some people think that they could do their good deeds, if you will, like their bank account. Just put it in the bank, let it build up. Nah, you gotta die right in order to rise right. That's why you and I we must live faithful unto death. Now, do you know when death comes? I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you this. Everybody who alive today not going to make it to the bed tonight. That's a fact. That's a fact. But here's the scary part. Because when we talk like that, we think way across seas somewhere. It could be right among us. How many times you heard? I just talked to him yesterday. Now he's dead. So we don't have time to play games. If you wanna go to heaven, you're gonna have to be a member of the Church of Christ. Any other church, not gonna do. And if you can prove to me that you can go being in a Baptist church, being in the Methodist church, a Lutheran church, get with me. I'd be glad to hear what you have to say. I'm not closed-minded. If you can prove to me where I'm at is wrong, I'll be gone. I said, brother and sister, I love you, but look, I didn't find out some truth here. And I found out that I'm not in the right place. I got to go. And I advise you to do the same. Huh? But why? Because my soul is important to me. But I'm not gonna make a move based on what I feel, what I think. You don't give me no Bible for it. I'm not moving. I'm gonna continue to preach what the Bible says. Not gonna change. You need to make a decision this morning. You don't know. God might be giving you your last opportunity to make the right decision for your life. Don't squander this opportunity. When a rich man squandered his opportunity, we don't read nowhere where he had another chance. When Jesus told him to sell all he had and come follow him, he walked away sad. No records say that he ever came back and followed Jesus. Don't think that you got a lot of time left in your life. You don't know. You haven't talked to God on that. God haven't told you, look, you got X money years to live. And even if God did tell you, you won't live that long. When the time comes to give up your life, you're still going to have to be right with him. Make the right decision as we stand this morning and sing the invitation song.